Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Following is the Srimad Bhagavatam class, second canto, sixth chapter, text 21 by His Holiness Ramapada Swami Maharaj in St. Louis, Missouri, May 31, 2008.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 6, Text 21. Sriti Vichakrame Vishvan. Sashana nashane ubhe. Yad avidya cha vidya cha. Purushastu bhayashayaha. Sriti vichakrame vishvan. Sashana nashane ubhe. Ya avidya cha vidya cha. Purushastu bhayashayaha. Shriti, the destination of the living entities. Vichakrame exists comprehensively. Vishvan, the all-pervading personality of Godhead. Sashana, activities for lording it over. Anushane, activities in devotional service. Ubhe, both. Yat, what is. Avidya, nescience. Cha, as well as. Vidya, factual knowledge. Cha, and. Purushaha, the Supreme Person. To, but. Ubhaya, for both of them. Ashayaha, the Master. Translation. By his energies, the all-pervading personality of Godhead is thus comprehensively, vichakrame, the master in the activities of controlling and in devotional service. He is the ultimate master of both nescience and factual knowledge of all situations. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word Vishvan is significant in this verse. One who travels perfectly in every field of activity is called the Purusha or Kshetragya. These two terms, Kshetragya and Purusha, are equally applicable to both the individual self and the Supreme Self, the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, the matter is explained as follows. 13.3. Kshetragyam chapi mam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharata kshetragayor jnanam yattaj jnanam matam mama. Kshetra means the place, and one who knows the place is called the Kshetragya. the individual self, knows about his limited field of activities, but the Supreme Self, the Lord, knows about the unlimited field of activities. The individual soul knows about his own thinking, feeling, and willing activities, but the Supreme Soul, or the Paramatma, the Supreme Controller, being present everywhere, knows everyone's thinking, feeling, and willing activities. That's a lot of information. And as such, the individual living entity is the minute master of his personal affairs, whereas the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the master of everyone's affairs, past, present, and future. Vedaham, Samati, Tani, etc. Only the ignorant person does not know this difference between the Lord and living entities. The living entities, as distinguished from incognizant matter, may be qualitatively equal to the Lord in cognizance, but the living entity can never be equal to the Lord in full knowledge of past, present, and future. Paragraph. And because the living entity is partially cognizant, he is therefore sometimes forgetful of his own identity. This forgetfulness is specifically manifested in the field of the ekapad vibhuti of the Lord, or in the material world. But in the tripad vibhuti field of actions, or in the spiritual world, there is no forgetfulness by the living entities, who are free from all kinds of contaminations resulting from the forgetful state of existence. The material body is the symbol of the gross and subtle form of forgetfulness. Therefore, the whole atmosphere of the material world is called avidya, or nescience, whereas the whole atmosphere of the spiritual world is called vidya, or full of knowledge. There are different stages of avidya, and they are called dharma, artha, and moksha. The idea of moksha, or liberation, held by the monist in the matter of oneness of the living entity and the Lord by ultimate merging in one, is also the last stage of materialism or forgetfulness. Knowledge of the qualitative oneness of the self and super self is partial knowledge and ignorance also, because there is no knowledge of the qualitative difference as explained above. The individual self can never be equal to the Lord in cognizance, otherwise he could not be placed in the state of forgetfulness. The individual self can never be equal to the Lord in cognizance, otherwise he could not be placed in the state of forgetfulness. So, because there is a stage of forgetfulness of the living, of the individual selves, or the living entities, there is always a gulf of difference between the Lord and the living entity, as between the part and the whole. The part is never equal to the whole. So the conception of 100% equality of the living being with the Lord is also nescience. Paragraph. In the field of nescience, activities are directed toward lording it over the creation. In the material world, therefore, everyone is engaged in activities in acquiring material opulence to lord it over the material world. Therefore, there is always clash and frustration, which are the symptoms of nescience. But in the field of knowledge, there is devotional service to the Lord, bhakti. Therefore, there is no chance of being contaminated by the influence of nescience or forgetfulness, avidya, in the liberated stage of devotional activities. The Lord is thus the proprietor of the fields, both of nescience and of cognition, and remains the choice of the living entity to exist in either of the above regions. Wonderful. Sati vichakrame vishvan sa shana nashane ube yad avidyacha vidyacha purushas tu bhayashrayaha. By his energies, the all-pervading personality of Godhead is thus comprehensively the master in the activities of controlling and in devotional service. He is the ultimate master of both nescience and factual knowledge of all situations. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. If people could just like get absorbed in the Bhagavatam, it would save a lot of problems. A lot of problems. So this is Purusha Sukta confirmed. That's the title of chapter 6. As we mentioned yesterday, Purusha Sukta prayers in Rig Veda. They're describing the creation, the process of creation, the source of creation, the sequential outcomes of creation, both in terms of matter unfolding from the spiritual realm and then the controlling agents through the various devatas and the system of duties of the various varnas and ashrams created by the Lord. This is that system of varnashram dharma. And then acting within those arrangements of duties, elevate the souls back to the spiritual position. And in the Purusha Sukta Rig Veda mantras, there's this description of, from the one source, there's these two realms. The spiritual realm, the tripad vibhuti, three-quarters portion, and the ekapad vibhuti, the material portion, emphasizing both have the same source. And that source is a person, indicated by the word purusha. Purusha indicates person. That's saying it three times. It's person. That's four times. Because the impersonalists go to the same mantras and somehow get in person, even though it's Purusha Sukta. Sukta means prayers. Prayers to the Purusha, the person. And somehow they get in person. Here's how they get in person. They get in person by saying the all there is Brahman. So Purusha means Brahman. When you say Purusha, it's like that's the, you know, the diversified covered by illusion, but you remove the covering of illusion, what you have left is Brahman. Wasn't that clever? And so and therefore I am controlling the sun and the moon and the stars, and I am the source of all that be, and so are you too, and isn't it nice? Because it's all one. And unfortunately, there are some people that don't have that realization, but we're benevolent and we'll allow them to be happy in their covered by nescience state because we're benevolent, and so on. That's his statement of nescience. And even though there is a higher connection with Brahman, it's still not understanding the Purusha Sukta mantras. And the explanation of those Purusha Sukta mantras is that there's two words used in this verse, Vishvan, which Prabhupada in the first sentence highlights. Vishva, Vishvan and Purusha. So Vishvan is also Purusha, and it's a particular characteristic or feature of Purusha, and that is he pervades throughout Vishva. Vishva is this, like Vishva Roop, it's the creation. But he is comprehensively the pervading also the spiritual creation. I mean, it's all but his energy, and therefore the translation begins by his energies. This is the mystery, how the impersonal, personal kind of on stage, off stage, multiple roles that Krishna plays. He's Brahman, he's Paramatma, he's Bhagavan at the same time by his potencies, because he's a person with unlimited potencies. So by his spiritual potencies he exhibits the tripad vivuti, and by his material potencies exhibits the ekapad vivuti, the material creation. He pervades and supports the whole thing by his paramatma feature within every atom of the material creation, not required in the spiritual realm because he's present as in his Bhagavan feature through his internal potencies. So his internal potencies, or as Prabhupada has presented in the translation, in devotional service. So this, it's very nice. It's not only philosophically profound, it's even by alliteration, it's a literary ornament, how Prabhupada has written. There's, in the second line, sashana. Sashana means activities of lording it over, and anashane means activities of devotional service. So he's the Vishvan of anashane. He's the pervasive lord of the activities of devotional service. The activities of devotional service, by the way, that's his internal potency. So it's by his potencies in our conventional, by the mercy of Radharani, we can be engaged in devotional service. By the mercy of Radharani, we can be engaged in devotional service. That's his internal potency. By his internal potency, through devotional service, we can access Krishna in the spiritual world. That's the Tripad Vibhuti. He's the Vishvan, the pervasive lord of the realm of devotional service. And he's the pervasive lord in the matters of controlling. That is to say, he controls the whole show, material creation. He does so as his agency of Purusha, more specifically as Paramatma. He's controlling the whole show. It's from his potencies the whole show comes, and it's by his potencies the whole show is being maintained. By his potency the whole show is being withdrawn. By his potency any little Purusha can do their little control program. Like, you know, tie your shoelaces and brush your teeth and blink your eye and all those controlling things that we do all the time. The capacity for that minute control comes from the Supreme Controller, without which we can't tie our shoelaces or brush our teeth or blink our eyes. So we're the dependent Purusha. Although Prabhupada very liberally, in this context at least, indicates that the living entity is also Purusha. Like the verse from the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he's the tongue-in-cheek so-called Purusha. Purusha prakritisto hi bhunte prakriti jan gunan. Living entity becomes in the mood of the enjoyer, tries to lord it over material nature, and as a result they get implicated in the laws of material nature and become captured, captivated, controlled by the laws of material nature. What kind of controller is that? It's the so-called controller, because he's imitating the real Purusha. I am the Lord of all I survey. I am perfectly powerful and happy. Like chapter 16, Bhagavad Gita, the Asura, the divine and the demoniac. So he's thinking also, I am the controller of all I survey. So much is mine. And tomorrow, so much more will be mine, because I have all my plans and I'm eliminating my enemies and making alliances with my friends and controlling and so on and so on. In complete ignorance or denial of the dependence to brush his teeth or tie his shoelaces or blink his eyelid based upon the sanction of the Lord. So one may rise to some position of apparent power and fall from the position of power, like a little piece of wood on an ocean. It's the wave rises and the wood rises, and the wave falls and the wood falls, and it's completely dependent upon the current, the tide of the material energy. Not at all the controller. But being given the opportunity to think, now see how high on this wave I am riding, only to be pushed down by the same wave. So, but in a limited, very, very, very tiny limited way, controller. And that's in the affairs of matter. And so, it's a brilliant purport. I mean, simply brilliant. So he's, Prabhupada is taking the word Purusha, Purushas tu, Ubhaya, Ubhaya, this word Ubhaya appears twice, Ubhe and Ubhaya, that's both, both the spiritual and the material realm, both vidya and avidya, both the matter of controlling and the matter of devotional service. Well, we're not controlling, we're just serving. One gives access to the material world, the other gives access to the spiritual world. Krishna is the ashraya. Literally, that means shelter. Prabhupada is given the connotation master. He's the shelter of both. He's the master of both. And depending upon the disposition of the living entity towards the Parama Purusha, that's going to determine whether it's the Avidya or the Vidya region. So, it appears what Prabhupada wants to do in this purport is take his nice little sledgehammer and smash the idea of oneness with Brahman as being part of Vidya. He wants to establish that as part of Avidya. And so the path that he goes down is saying that Purusha and Kshatriya are very similar in connotation. Purusha is the enjoyer, Kshatriya is the one who knows the field of activity, Kshatriya and Kshatriya. So we know the field, this body is the field of activity, and so we know this little field of activity, thinking, feeling, willing portion of this field of activity, this little body that we have. And then there's the Supreme, who is the knower of all fields. Kshetragyacha api mam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharata. There's the knower of this field, and there's the knower of all fields, and both are Kshatriyas, but in two categories, tiny and unlimited. So there's the tiny Purusha and the unlimited Purusha. And this verse is speaking about the unlimited Purusha. It's not saying, I am the source of... That's ridiculous. I am the source of everything. That's how the impersonalists read. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata. I am the source of everything. Until they get a toothache, and then they have to go to the dentist Purusha and take care of their toothache. But Krishna declares in many places in Bhagavad Gita that he doesn't become conscious of everything. He is conscious of everything. Vedaham samatithani. Samatithani, he's aware, he's the knower of everything. Who can say they're the knower of everything? And it's not that he meditated and then he became the knower of everything. So we times Prabhupada has explained from his presence in the prison house of Kamsa, or when he was just a few weeks old, he knew Putana is coming and took her life, and but did it in such a way that it wouldn't disturb anybody, so they thought, oh, Narayan has protected little Krishna. Must be the pious activities we've done that now Narayan has protected Krishna. Please come, Krishna. Come to the cows and we'll swish the tail of the cow before you and say Vedic mantras for protection. He was omniscient. There's not a time when he wasn't omniscient. He didn't become, nor can anyone by meditation become omniscient. It's silly. One can become a knower of the fact that we're spirit soul. And that's a portion of vidya, but to extend that to say, therefore I am the supreme soul, that's avidya. Not so, it's ignorance, it's false. It's a mistaken conception. That's what Prabhupada wants to say, and therefore that conception of moksha that says in 100% absolute equality with the Supreme, that kind of moksha and that kind of dharma and artha and certainly kama and moksha is part of avidya. If it does not, this is the theme of the entire Bhagavatam, if it does not bring forth the awareness of the personality of God, of the name, fame, qualities, pastimes, and our relationship with the personality of Godhead. Conversely, even the slightest understanding of those, the position of the living being, the position of the personality of Godhead in relation to the living being, that he is the master. Even the beginning stage of that is vastly superior to one who even perfectly performs these other activities. And who is there that perfectly performs these other activities? But even if one perfectly performs, just the beginning stage of hearing and chanting the glories of the personality of Godhead in the association of Bhagavat, the book and the person, Bhagavat, in relation to the personality of Godhead Bhagavan, is the most fortunate. It's the culmination of all these other activities, the fruit of all those other activities. And once again, minus that understanding, it's another phase of avidya. But hey, Krishna is the master of avidya too. That's ekapad vibhuti. It's not theologically, this is Western philosophy has grappled with this since Western philosophy existed. You know, seeing the creation separate from God and seeing the creation in relation to God, either one has its problem. The separation from God, then what exists separate from God? But if then it exists in relation to God, then he's responsible for all the bad things. All the bad things. All the bad things. It's like, I've shared this before, but when I came back from India, I came into Chicago from that non-stop flight from Delhi to Chicago, and when going through immigration, you know, gave my passport and that little piece of paper, and it was, you know, one of those 2 o'clock in the morning things, and but he was well rested, the guy at the counter, and looked at my passport, didn't even look at me. He said, how long you been gone? It's because it says right on the card, so you just say the same thing that's on the card. I was gone for a month. What was your purpose? Tourism. And then he looked at me and said, so you believe in the divine? And I said, yeah. How about you? He looked at me and said, no. Then he got philosophical and said, I used to. But I've seen so much inhumanity. No. How can there be divine? So God's responsible for the bad things. There's so many bad things, there can't be divine. Like Prabhupada gave another example, he had a German god brother, Bhaktisiddhanta initiated one German professor who came to India. And so his German professor disciple shared with Srila Prabhupada that during World War II, the Germans were, wives and mothers and daughters were praying to God, please bring my son, my husband, my brother back from the war. And when they didn't come back from the war, God doesn't exist. They became atheists. Same idea. So to say that the creation comes from God, then he's responsible for all this bad stuff. The problem with all of this is not making a distinction between the living entity as the individual Purusha with a choice for the Ekapad Vibhuti, the Tripad Vibhuti. That's where the issue is. We can choose to be in harmony with the divine, or we can choose no. And that doesn't negate the divine. It doesn't negate the controlling capacity of the divine. He sanctions it. Not like willfully, okay, great. Go for the nonsense. This is very nice. But the free will of the living entity is not interfered with, just like loving parents. It's that they don't micromanage the life of their children. They instruct, guide, but some things may be done that's not just how the parents would want, and they don't, break their child in little pieces because they didn't. No. You don't exist because you're not completely following what I want. There's the loving reciprocation in a loving relationship. And in the case of God, the loving relationship manifests in the form of sanctioning this realm of illusion where a person can try to enjoy in la-la land, try to enjoy in a dream that which cannot be enjoyed, because you can't enjoy independently of Krishna, so it's just a dream. And so there's these little children's parodies. Row, row, row your boat. Gently down the stream. You've heard this one? Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. Nothing matters. It's all an illusion. It's just a dream, and it's just a dream. Because enjoying independently from the Supreme is but a dream. There's no substance in it. There's substance on the platform of spirit. So on the platform of spirit, so if a partial understanding is aham brahmasmi, but then if you take that to mean I am the source of everything, that I am that parama purusha, whoa, wait a minute. That's another avidya, of which the Lord is the ashraya. Purushas tu abhaya ashraya. Yavidya cha vidya cha. So it's very nice. What, in describing the spiritual and the material worlds and God being the source of them all, of them both, and all the details of them, the potency for vidya and avidya and varieties of avidya, oh, so many varieties of avidya. And taking these two distinctions, just simply the gross forms and subtle forms of matter And another avedya is equating oneself equal to the Supreme because I am Brahman. It's another avedya. And therefore we find in Ishopanishad this instruction, the teaching, that one should know very well both the process of vidya and avidya. That doesn't mean we should just jump in both feet first in the pool of avidya so we know what it's like. I'm just following Ishopanishad's instruction. What's wrong? I'm learning the process of avidya. That's not what it means. It means through scriptural indication, we like this nice verse. We can understand how both of them work, and then we can consciously choose. Certainly, the Lord is calling for us to come through the anashane, the process of devotional service, not sashane or sashana, the process of trying to control. Our department is the service department, Krishna's department is the control department, and it's a very nice relationship. We serve, he controls, and we're happy being controlled by that master, loving master, because it's a loving relationship. And the rebellious spirit says, I want to be the controller. And then we get the avidya potency. In both, so once again, in both circumstances, the verse is describing, both in the ekapad and the tripad vibhuti, there's one controller. There's different set of rules that apply how his energies are working. And then we can choose. And he is inviting us to the spiritual side through the medium of devotional service. In the field of knowledge, there is devotional service to the Lord, bhakti. Therefore, there is no chance of being contaminated by the influence of nescience or forgetfulness, avidya, in the liberated stage of devotional activities. We just cultivate the devotional activities, mindful of who is behind it, all of it, the personality of Godhead, in a loving manner. He is inviting us to him, to his abode, to the medium of devotional service. Then there's no question of forgetfulness of his identity as his being the master. Just like Prahlad said to his father when Hiranyakashipu was asking Prahlad, where are you getting your power? And Prahlad's very simple answer was, from the same place you are. So Prahlad is very clear, and we should be very clear. The powerful, so-called, materialist, because of the nature of shelter that he's taking, destined certainly for being smashed, because he's assuming wrongfully the position of the Supreme Controller. Okay, any discussion?
Maharaj, what is the difference between how Ishvara and Purusha are used in the Bhagavad Gita?
Purusha means enjoyer and Ishvara means controller. So the functions, the person who is the controller is there's also the proprietor. The proprietor is then the controller and the enjoyer. It's just describing different functions. Try to think of some practical example. It's a different function. You own a car. It's in the back parking lot. So when you're driving your car to get you from point A to point B, it's describing you're being the enjoyer of that thing. And you just look at the title on the car, it says it's yours. So you're the owner and the controller of it. So someone else doesn't have the right to claim it to be theirs because it's yours. Here's proof, here's our title. It's a function.
And both terms are used in relation to the living entity as well as Krishna.
Yeah, we're the minute controller, we're the tiny enjoyer. And then there's the false sense of enjoyment and the proper sense of enjoyment.
This is not related to today's verse, but I've been trying to understand the transition from chapter 1 to chapter 2 of the second canto. So my understanding is the first chapter, Conception of God, concludes with the concept of awe and reverence at the Virat Rupa. And I'm not sure how one jumps from there to the Paramatma conception in the second chapter.
In the purport that we read in Giridhagri, it gives a little bit of a summary. Well, it's not like it's form a conception of God and then fix that conception of God upon the spiritual presence of God within the heart as Paramatma. So form a basic idea that God exists and God exists within nature, then withdraw that. And literally, he even says, abandon that idea, now fix it. Fix this conception of God on the factual form of the Lord, because Virat Rupa is imaginary in one sense. It's God is not, his bones are the mountains, and his hairs on his body are the trees, although that's the Vishwarup. What's the verse that we read in Kedar Nagari?
2.3.24.
Thank you. Here's what it says in that purport. In the first chapter, the first step in devotional service for God consciousness is the process of hearing and chanting and a gross conception of the personality of Godhead in his universal form for the beginners is recommended. By such gross conception of God through the material manifestations of his energy, one is enabled to spiritualize the mind and the senses and gradually concentrate the mind upon Lord Vishnu, the Supreme. That's chapter 2. So gradual the transition is gradual spiritualization of the mind, and as the mind becomes more spiritualized, it becomes more capable of fixing the mind on the spiritual form as Paramatma, Lord Vishnu within the heart. Similarly, present everywhere within every atom of creation. So it's a very elevated conception, but fixing the mind on the form of Paramatma, and then transitioning that into rendering service unto him in this Bhagavan feature. Whereas Paramatma meditation alone is neutral. There's not active service, it's just meditation upon that spiritual form. So the transition is spiritualization of the mind and senses. That is to say, withdrawing this material tendency to see material creation as objects to be enjoyed by my senses and imagine in different ways in my mind how I can be the enjoyer of them.
So when the mind gets purified because of having formed a conception of God, then is it that Paramatma inspires those persons to...
Well, the internal and external. The external is arranged by the Supersoul. Mm-hmm. One becomes attracted by another higher level of activity, and then some representative sent by the Lord to help bring one to that position. Or if one has this good fortune of an association of devotee right off, like Shukadeva Goswami and his form of the Bhagavatam, then the transition is rapid. But it may be lifetimes otherwise.
Maharaj, I was just curious to why Prabhupada skipped. I understood the explanation when you said Dharmartha and Moksha are stages of Avidya and not in relation to the Supreme Lord. But why did he skip Kama in that sentence?
No, you can include it. You can exclude it. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much to the Prabhupada. Please. Bye.